Hello out there, and welcome to your Next Mission video podcast. On October 26, 2024, Kobe DeVoe was seriously injured in an automobile accident. Today's guests are his parents, whose story of resilience, faith, love, and recovery is an amazing testament to the power of prayer. Please stay tuned to hear this powerful story.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans and service members and their families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of military community and their families always, with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. Say it every week, we love them too. Today, we're going to talk with the parents of a young man who was seriously injured in an automobile accident and find out how the power of prayer not only brought him back to life, but led him on a road to recovery. And I'm excited to welcome Steve and Courtney DeVoe, parents of Kobe DeVoe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
We have a lot to talk about. Before we get started, would each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And Courtney, we'll start with you.
Okay. I'm Courtney, and I am the mother of Kobe. I've been married to my husband for 17 years. July will make 18 years. We have four kids together. I'm a school teacher, and...
That's it. Well, that's plenty. Well, thank you for being a school teacher. We certainly appreciate it. Hey, Sergeant Major, how about yourself?
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Hey, everybody. How you doing? My name is Command Sergeant Major DeVoe, Steve DeVoe. I've been an active duty Army for 24 years. I just got out of the Commandant seat at the Non-Commissioned Officer Academy here at Forsyth, Oklahoma, and I'm just glad to be on the show today.
Well, thank you both for coming on the show and telling us the story of the power of prayer. I look forward to hearing your comments. Courtney, how did you hear about Kobe's accident?
I got a phone call on October 26th from my little cousin saying that Kobe and his two cousins, Kelsey and Colin, were in a car accident. At that time, it didn't seem serious. I just thought, fender bender. But then I got a call saying that, you need to hurry and get here to the site because it's serious. And when I got to the site, it was something no parent, no mother should see. Everything just completely stopped for me.
Mm. Sergeant Major, you were the first on the scene, I understand. How did you feel when you saw the helicopter, coming to evacuate him?
So the biggest thing is my wife was the first on the scene there, and they would not allow her. The police had the area blocked off. They would not allow her to, see my son. So I was actually the first on the scene when the helicopter landed at the hospital, OU Medical Center. So I got a call from my wife saying that, hey, Kobe's been in an accident. I was already 30 minutes going towards Oklahoma City. So I arrived at a hospital where I waited outside on the helipad. I waited for my son to get there. I kept checking in. They're like, the plane is 30 minutes out, it's 20 minutes out, and then 10 minutes out, I just heard, the sound of the helicopter as it was landing right there in front of me.
So Sergeant, what happened when you got to the hospital? I mean, with the helicopter landing, go ahead.
Man, to tell you the truth, as soon as I was there on the helipad, everything started moving in slow motion. I just started having flashbacks from, prior deployments in the military. Just it's the unknown. Is he dead? Is he alive? Is he going to be okay? I try to assist, you know, as soon as they pulled him out, I try to run up and, you know, I was blocked by the medical doctor, and he told me, hey, so Mr. DeBoe, you know, stand fast. You know, we need to make sure that he's stabilized. And once he's stabilized, you know, we'll get you to see your son.
Go ahead. Just
and from that point, I said, well, when are we going to see our son? He said, well, you know, we're going to keep you in a waiting room and you just stand by. Somebody will greet you down there at the medical center. So once I entered the hospital, that's when my wife got there with my mom and her father and my son, Kevin. We was all in the waiting room, just standing by waiting for, you know, any updates, you know, from the doctors.
Hey, Courtney, what did the doctors say about Kobe, and what did you experience when you first saw him?
When I first saw him, it was unreal. Seeing him laying there, not moving or not anything, in my head is, does he know I'm here? Does he know we're here with him? What was his, you know, did he ask for us? You know, those things ran through my head. But to see him laying there, it was unreal. Because he was literally just going to go have a good time. And I was expecting him to walk through the doors because his curfew was 10:30. But I didn't expect to be in a hospital at 10:30 looking at my child laying there. And then when the doctor came in, they said they had to take him into surgery to correct what was performed in the field. It was performed wrong. And so they had to take him in to correct him on his trach. And to me, it's like, okay, once they do that, he's going to be okay, right? And I didn't get an answer, or if it was an answer, I probably didn't hear it because I was just thinking the positive things. Okay, he's going to come home because he still has to cut the grass. And when they took him from us, I remember giving him a kiss and I told him I'm going to be waiting for him. But I didn't know if he can hear me because he wasn't moving. They had his eyes taped shut. It was just something no mother, no parent should see.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, I tell you, I can't imagine how you felt when you heard the news he had passed. I mean, that was that's got to be every parent's worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm. It was, because as a mom, you carry this child for 9 months. You know this child inside and out. And for them to say that your child is gone, it's just like, it's not real. Like, mm-hmm. I gave life to this kid and life was taken from him. It's just something that I didn't want to hear. I felt like everything inside of me was gone. Like, what's my purpose? And I know I have other kids, but this kid was different. This kid was, he was Kobe. He was our Kobe. And hearing that, it broke me down. I think I felt like I gave out my last breath. And when they took us to his room, I just looked at my baby and said, it's not time yet. Your kid, they're not supposed to go before you.
Yeah, no, I can't even imagine. I've never went through anything like that. My son was sick. I had meningitis. I'll tell you about that in a little while, but, I just can't imagine, going through that for anybody. And I pray to God that everything comes out right. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the miracle that happened. So please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, we're talking about life. We're talking about believing. We're talking about the power of prayer. Please click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Sergeant Major Steve and Courtney DeVoe about their son, Kobe, who was critically injured in an automobile accident. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said, many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sergeant Major, before the break, you told us about Kobe's accident and how the doctors told you that he had passed. What happened after that?
Well, Sergeant Major, I need to go back and start back with a sequence of events.
Okay.
As we was there, as he arrived to the hospital, we were there, my family's waiting inside the waiting room, along with multiple pastors from different churches from Oklahoma City, multiple members from Galilee Missionary Baptist Church here, just all there supporting and praying for Kobe. Later on that night, there was an eyewitness who came up. I don't know how he found us. I never met this guy before in my life. And he asked, he said, "Are you the parents of Kobe DeVoe?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I wanted you to know that I seen the whole accident. Your son did nothing wrong. A car came out of nowhere and hit him. And he told me that he lives an hour and 20 minutes away from the hospital. And he said God would not let him go home that night until he came and gave us a prayer. And he asked us, because he pray with us. And I said, "Yes, sir." So we gave us a prayer. And then, he said, "Hey, Kobe's going to be okay." And then he left. At that moment, I said, "You know what? Kobe's going to be okay." I said, "God sent us a messenger. We've been praying. A messenger came and prayed with us. He's going to be okay. He's going to be great." Moments later, the chaplain, spiritual advisor, came downstairs and she said, "Mr. and Mrs. DeVoe, you can now see your son, Kobe." So, with all high hope, me and my wife, we followed her upstairs. Outside of his door was the doctor. And she said, "Mr. and Mrs. DeVoe, I'm sorry. Your son has passed. There's nothing more that we can do. You can now say your goodbyes." We walked into the room, all the nurses left, his whole body was ice cold, frozen, eyes, open, my wife fell to the ground. I'm trying to help her up. It was just so much emotions and things going on within that room. At that point, I think I stayed in there for about 10 minutes. I just couldn't take it. As a father, it was too much to bear. My son not breathing, there was no heart, no pulse, no heartbeat. I went outside of my car. And I just continue praying, like, "God, take me instead of him. I've lived my life. He hasn't graduated yet. He has a whole future ahead of me." So I just continue praying and praying. Then I got a text from my wife, and she told me, she said, "Hey, come upstairs. You need to come upstairs now." And I said, "What happened?" She said, "He's back." I said, "No, babe, there's no way he's gone. It's a little over 2 hours at this point. He's gone." And she said, "No." And then she started, asking him questions, and he was responding. We ran and got the doctor, and I said, "Doctor, look, he's responding." The doctor told us, she said, "Unfortunately, Mr. DeVoe, when someone passes away, their nerves twitches. It makes it seem like they're still there." But she said, "Mr. DeVoe, he's gone." I said, "Doctor, look, Kobe, if you can hear me, stick out your tongue. He stuck out his tongue. I said, Kobe, if you can hear me, shake your head. He shook his head. The doctor was amazed. Nurses started coming in. They all froze. Like, everybody froze. You know, it was like this kid was gone. How was he back? You know, and we knew it was the prayer. It was my wife who stayed in that room, continued praying. It was all the phone calls, all the prayer lines, you know, in support of Kobe. Everybody who heard, you know, the accident, they just continued. They did not give up hope. And it brought Kobe back. And one thing I learned later on was how my wife found out he responded. And they tell the story.
When they told us it was the end and they said, you know, go ahead and say your goodbyes. I remember touching him and he was ice cold. And I said, you know, Kobe, I said, mommy loves you. And he shook his head. And then that's when, you know, they got the doctors and things like that. And they said, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. But you guys told us he was paralyzed. So how can he squeeze your hand if he's paralyzed? So then my mom said, Kobe, you know, granny loves you. And he shook his head. So they said, Kobe, if you can hear us, stick your tongue out. And he stuck his tongue out. And to me, I knew my child was still there. I knew I was just waiting. But a part of me also was like, I didn't want to go back home. I didn't want to come back home and my baby's not with me anymore. I wasn't ready to come back home. I wanted to stay there. And I remember when they brought us into his room, the chaplain gave a paper with his heartbeat on it. And she was like, we can't put a time stamp on it because the machine, you know, when they're young, I was told that when they're kids, they keep them on the machine until the medicine is ran out that's keeping their heart going. So the parents can say their goodbyes and spend time with him. And she's like, I can't put a time on it yet. But once the time, then I put it. And I slapped it out of her hand. I said, no. I said, I don't want this. My child is going to come back. And I prayed. And I said, you know what, God? I said, I don't care how you bring him back to us. Just bring him back to me. I said, because I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that life yet. But what I am ready for is I'm prepared for however you bring him back to us. And he brought him back to us. And I couldn't be more happy and coming home and just going in his room and checking on him. Has my heart just full of love, full of there's God is there. He hears everything. You just have to believe and pray what you want. But it's hard as a mom. It really is. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a feeling that you don't want any harm to come to your kids. You want to be able to protect them from any and everything. And I felt like I couldn't protect him. I felt like I couldn't do anything for him that day. But just.
Well, you know, as you was talking, I was thinking about my lifetime. I mean, I think anybody that goes to war or anything that happens to your family, the first thing you do is you pray. And you, I mean, that's just, I prayed so much when I was in war. I said, Lord, if you just get me, God, if you get me out of here, whatever I was doing, I'll never do it again. And I was also prayed for my family too. And so I know about the prayer. And I believe in life. I certainly believe in God. And I believe in the strength of a prayer. And that's why it's great sometimes when you was talking about people in the waiting room with your families and the chaplain and everybody else in there praying. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think that God listens to us and he wants to help. But that's for sure. Hey, Courtney, right after the accident, Kobe was life flighted to Oklahoma University Medical Center, I guess it was. But but after that time, he had to be moved to a rehabilitation hospital to begin, you know, physical therapy. What hospital did you take him to, and I guess, and why?
So after his surgery, after his final surgery, the hospital social worker, the caseworker came to me and said, hey, here's a rehab center that we would like for Kobe to go to. And it was Bethany's Children's Hospital. And at that time, I'm like, okay, this sounds good. Because again, we don't know anything because this is something we never looked into. We never thought to look into anything like that. And I was like, okay, you know, that sounds good. And then others were saying, you know, take them to another facility in Colorado. And so we had mixed feelings because we were going by what, you know, others were saying and what the caseworker was saying. And I remember that day getting ready to go back to the hotel. And my dad switched out with me that night and he said, go back and I'm going to send you some Bible verses. He told me to go read the Bible. And I said, I don't know what to read because I didn't know what to read at that moment. He said, I'm going to send you some Bible verses. So I said, okay. So I got Kevin ready for bed and I laid in the bed and looked at the text message. And the message was John 11. And so when I opened it, it said Lazarus of Bethany. And to me, I was like, you know what, God, this is a sign. This is Kobe of Bethany. And in that story, it talks about how God came and Jesus came and went into the tomb. Mary took him to the tomb to wake her brother Lazarus up. And to me, I felt like that's what God did. He went inside room 310 and told Kobe, you need to get up. I'm not done with you yet. And so Bethany was where I said I was going to take my child. I looked up Bethany. It wasn't a lot. It showed that they had a spinal cord program, but it wasn't a lot. And I had to remember, I said, you know what? When I first became a teacher, someone gave me a chance. And I'm going to give this hospital a chance. And when we got there, it was a breath of fresh air. You can just feel the love and anointing in that hospital. And I knew my child was going to be okay. I remember the doctors that came into Kobe's life, the nurses, they all had Bible names. And his head doctor was Dr. Cross. And to me, that was a sign. Jesus was with him. God was with him that day. He sent his workers in there that time he was there to fix our baby. We've taken him to Bethany and they're going to get him ready to go home. And Bethany is a nonprofit hospital. It's a Christian-based hospital. And when I say everybody in that hospital was amazing. They took such good care. They gave us hope. They gave us what we wanted, not what we wanted to hear, but what God wanted them to tell us. But I remember one night coming to the hospital and I never seen the outside of the hospital. But I remember driving up to it and it was this big, beautiful cross that was lit up. And I said, you know what? I said, I need to let God take control. I need to allow him to do his job. And since then, I just put my faith into God and he knows what he's doing. Like my mom told me, God had Kobe's story written out before we even thought to give birth to him. God knew what was going to happen before we even knew what was going to happen. Could I go back to that day and say, no, you can't go out with your friends? I wish I could, but there was a reason and a purpose.
Yeah. Well, I believe sometimes people miss the signs, and I'm glad that you've seen the sign that told you, and you thought about it and you prayed about it and you went in the right direction. So, hey, Sergeant Major, what injuries did he obtain from the accident and how's he doing now?
His injuries was a spinal cord from C5, 6, and 7. He had three punctured lungs. He also had two collarbone injuries. He had a stroke and some blood clots in his neck area. So right now he's currently paralyzed from the neck down, no feelings in his fingers. You know, he can move his head. He can lift his arms up. However, there's still no feeling at all. You know, so his spirits are up. He's there. He can talk to you, have conversations. We laugh and joke all the time. But what the doctors tell me currently, he's quadriplegic complete, which means that, you know, he will never gain those feelings again, but we still have hope. There's new technology that's coming out, or there's different things that's, you know, that's coming out that's going to start assisting with, you know, a person that with spinal cord injuries.
Yeah. Wow. We knew, as his friends came by and seen him, all of his friends from school and stuff.
Yes. They come by. I can tell you this, Kobe. I was talking to someone at work today and they asked me how I was doing, how Kobe was doing. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, we complain so much about the little things, headaches and things like that. But since Kobe's accident, I have not heard him once complain about any injuries on him. Not once saying, you know, why this or why that. He has the best outlook on it. He's always smiling. His friends treat him as though there's nothing wrong. They include Kobe in everything. I had to ask them to share their location with me. Because when they take Kobe, I need to know where they are at all times. When they come over, it's just, he has the biggest smile, on his face, and we enjoy them coming over. They're like our kids now. Those are our babies too. But when I say they love Kobe unconditionally, they make sure he is well taken care of when they're here. Oh, we got it, Mom. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. They allow us to breathe when they're here. We were truly blessed. He has amazing friends.
Well, that's great. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about how your lives have changed, as you talked about just a minute ago, since the accident. And I also have a special request for our audience. So please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Sergeant Major Steve and Courtney DeVoe, parents of Courtney DeVoe, who was critically injured in an automobile accident. Normally, during this part of the show, we tell you on ways you can support the American Freedom Foundation and the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and families. But today, we're going to do something a little different to help support the DeVoe family. Kobe, they have a GoFundMe page to purchase a specifically outfitted van to transport Kobe. We're trying to raise $70,000 to purchase this van. So please go to tinyurl.com/Kobe van. That's KOBEVAN, and show your support for them. The American Freedom Foundation is going to lead this effort with a donation of $1,000. We will scroll the website at the bottom of the screen for the rest of the episode. So we thank you. We thank you for your support. Sergeant Major, how has your family's life changed since the accident?
Some of the biggest things is just, you know, lifting, you know, as a father, you know, you want your son to know that it's going to be okay. You know, you want to lift his spirits up. You want to lead by example, you know, all of those great things. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, he can't regulate his body temperature. There's days he's energetic and there's days that he's not. But it's because of his body and the way he's feeling, you know. So those are the biggest impacts, just lifting up his spirits, you know, making sure that, you know, he has everything that he needs, you know, mentally, you know, because one of the biggest things is when he's with dad, you know, he wants to show that, you know, he's tough. But when he was mom, that's when all the feelings come out, you know, and, you know, those conversations, you know, we kind of don't have, you know, as far as just, you know, getting him, you know, to his day to day, you know, activities, it's just like, you know, taking care of an infant because he can't do anything for himself. You know, he's paralyzed, you know, from the neck down, just, you know, I'm trying to maneuver him around the house. You know, you would think it's easy, but, you know, bathroom doors are small. Room doors are small. They're not the size where a wheelchair can fit through. You know, you need to add ramps, different addition you wouldn't normally think of that, you know, you would need, that you need just to, you know, for the, your day-to-day activities.
Yeah. Courtney, as Kobe, I mean, dealing with the realities and the accident, how is his attitude? I mean, you said a little while ago, it's pretty positive, I guess.
He does have a positive attitude. I tell people all the time, but Kobe has the same attitude he had before the accident. Mm-hmm. There's days where we bump heads. There's days where he'll tell me, you know, he'll talk to me. We'll talk, you know, about things. And he always says, Mom, why do you always say this is temporary? Because it is temporary. I said, we don't know what the future is going to look like. I was like, but we know that this is temporary. There are ways that we can do things. It may not be the normal way, but we've got to learn our new norm. And we're not going to allow the things that you wanted to do to stop you from doing those things. Like my husband said, he's experienced life. I've already experienced life, but Kobe hasn't experienced life. But we sit and we research, we look at things, and there's so many things out there that will allow him to do the things that he wants to. It just looks a little different. I tell Kobe all the time, I said, you don't realize how much of a inspiration you are to people that you don't even know.
Yes.
For instance, it was a kid at Bethany, and there was Kobe's an honorary member of a local car group here. And the car group went up to Bethany to, you know, show a few cars. And this kid, you know, Kobe adored this kid. And when we were in the elevator, the kid told his nurse, today is the best day that I had. And nurse was like, why? He said, because Kobe is hanging out with me. And I told Kobe, I said, you don't realize how much you mean to people. And it's just the little things that you do. He had a neighbor, and the neighbor was about the same age as his little brother. And this neighbor called Kobe his best friend for life. And in his, he has my best friend, Kobe. And it's just a simple him FaceTiming Kobe, and his face just lights up. I remember the kid asking Kobe, you know, what happened. And Kobe told him, and he was like, well, are you ever going to walk again? And Kobe said, you know what? I don't care if I don't walk again. I'm just happy. He has the best outlook on life, whereas an adult, we worry about what people think about us when we come somewhere. And I remember asking Kobe one day, I said, do you worry about what people think or see about you? He said, no, Mom, I don't care. And he gets that from his dad. Me, I worry about what people think all the time. But his dad, like, I don't care what they think. And Kobe has that I don't care what they think attitude. He doesn't allow his physical appearance to affect how he feels and how he gets around in life.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. I'm probably more like you. I used to worry about what people thought about me when I was younger. But as I got a little older, I realized there's a lot of people as good as I am, but there's nobody better. And mm-hmm. so I just sort of keep that attitude going. And it's good that he has a positive attitude because, mm-hmm. Life's a little tough. He's got to be tough right with it. But sometimes smiling and having a great attitude will help you out a great deal, especially in life. I'd like to ask both of you, how has the military community and the school district shown support for, you know, your family? Courtney, let's start with you.
Lock Public Schools has been amazing. When people ask me certain questions, I tell them, I said, you know what? This whole process, God's placed people in our lives, and they allowed us to grieve and allow us to process everything that's going on. And they've handled everything. And the school district has been so supportive, especially my school, Elmer West, has been so supportive in helping me navigate things and just being there, just coming in and checking in on me or, you know, seeing if I need anything. Always asking about Kobe. When Kobe transitioned back to school, his principal, Miss Mims at Eisenhower, made it the easiest transition for him. They allowed him to come back to school just to come and hang out, not necessarily to follow a school schedule, but to give him that sense of socializing with his friends. And the kids were excited to see him come back to school.
Hey, yeah. Sergeant Major, same thing. Go ahead.
The military has been so supportive. You know, the Commanding General, General Brooks, and Command Sergeant Major Sartain, EFCO Sergeant Major has been phenomenal in assisting my family, you know, with whatever we need. One of the biggest things I love about the military is, you know, whenever there's a crisis that happened in a military life, we have these different care teams. So we have a group of people who get together and just handle everything for those family members to kind of lessen the stress, you know, off them. They've been so supportive. Like I said, the community, the Fort Sill community, the Fort Sill and Lawton community have been so great. So much farewell cards, different people visiting my son, different coaches and teams. I even got I met the mayor who heard about Mayor Booker, who heard about Kobe's story. And just the other day, I seen him while I was walking in Lowe's, and he came, stopped me and shook my hand, said, "Hey, you Kobe dad, right?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "How's your son doing?" He said, "Now, I remember you from, you know, hearing about the story. And I just wanted to, you know, just ask how he's doing." So even he's supportive. We have different, there was a car club here, a C3 car club, who heard about Kobe's story, and they escorted us because Kobe loved cars. They escorted us from the hospital all the way to my house, did a car show in front of the house, you know, for Kobe and all his friends. And he was just, you know, so amazing. They got this hashtag Kobe Strong stickers on their vehicles. I'm talking about $100,000 vehicles with hashtag Kobe Strong, because it was just inspiring of his resiliency. You know, they also made him an honorary member. That's been so great to my family. So, you know, one thing I say, I love the Lawton and Fort Sill community on both sides. Been just so helpful. The community just pulled in and just assisted us with whatever we needed.
Yeah. You know, this has been a wonderful discussion about the power of prayer, and also the power of people in your community.
Yes.
And the people that really care. I mean, this is about the miracle of life. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience? And of course, Courtney, we always start with you. Anything you want to share that maybe you want to reemphasize or tell the audience about a little bit more?
Prayer.
Yeah. Prayer. That's
prayer. Yeah. And believing God places people in your life for a reason. Throughout this whole ordeal, when we were in the hospital, I remember my best friend coming, and she was just there for a day, and the impact that she made, the connections that she had, the people that she ran into in the hospital. And my best friend Taisha is someone that when you talk to her, it's just a breath, like, "Hey girl." But she made sure that the people that came into our lives allowed us to be parents. Our caseworker at Reynolds, Miss Janet Taylor, we call her Pitbull Janet, has taken care of every single referral, because these are things that we didn't think of. Like, I didn't think we needed a referral for this. I didn't think we needed a referral for that. She handled all that. My principal, Ashley McCarter, has been amazing throughout this whole ordeal. It's just everybody has been so supportive and allowed us to be Kobe's parents instead of doing this and doing that.
Okay. Sergeant Major, how about yourself? Any final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
The biggest final thoughts I got is, you know, as senior leaders, you know, we never like to reach out or ask for help. You know, there's always help out there. And one more thing is never give up. My son Kobe died, no heartbeat, no pulse, for over 2 hours.
In 31 minutes
and came back. And I always think, what if my wife left when I left at the 20-minute mark, because I couldn't take it anymore? But my wife stayed. You know, what if? So never give up. You know, there's everything's a possibility. My son Kobe, for Christmas, he wanted a golden retriever. And his grandpa went and bought him a golden retriever. And believe it or not, we didn't know this, but his dog Bevo was born on the same day of his accident.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah. But other than that, I just want to thank everybody who supported us. You know, I just want to thank the law enforcement community, all the churches, everybody on the prayer line from all the different states. You know, just thank you for all the love, all the support, and everything that you have done to keep my family in your spirits.
Well, God bless both of you. And thank you. And again, if we can ever help you in any way, please let us know. Thanks for just being with us today and telling your story. It's really, it's sad, but then it's also uplifting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you hear something, you think all the worst, and then miracles happen and God touches you. So anyway, God bless you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to Sergeant Major DeVoe and Courtney for being with us today. And please don't forget about the GoFundMe page shown below and show your support for Kobe and the DeVoe family with a donation. I'm Jack L. Tully, 12th Sergeant Major Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website and at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell, too, to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcasts. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Sergeant Major DeVoe and Courtney for joining us. Today, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about the surroundings of people, about love, about trust, about God, about believing. But most of all, we talked about the power of prayer. So you see, every day of my life, I believe in God, and I believe in helping people as much as we can each and every day. Because you see, it's hard sometimes, but God is watching you, and God will reach out to you, and God will touch you in all sorts of ways. So thanks for watching, and of course, thanks to Newmind Studios, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.